This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonslow, the host of the podcast that makes it feel like 72 degrees in your head all the time. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about some interesting conversations I had with multiple attendees at classes I was involved with at a couple of the trade shows and really the training conferences I've been at this year. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Napa Auto Tech's team of ASC Master Certified Instructors are conducting over 1,200 classes covering 28 automotive topics. To see a selection, go to NapaAutoTech.com for more details. I've been to a few conferences this year, and the classes I usually am involved with, presenting, and I don't know if I would dare say helping with, but was at least in the presence of. You'll have to ask Rich and Bryn what kind of help I was really offering, but they're hands-on classes. And what that allows for is a lot of one-on-one or one-on-small group time that doesn't really, I guess, involve the rest of the class and also doesn't deter them or derail them or prevent them from continuing to focus on their learning or whatever. It's a common conversation, I got to tell you, from multiple venues, so not just one training conference, but multiple. It was coming down from managers, shop managers, owners who are in the class. Some of them are there because they brought their team. Some of them are there because they do not have a quote-unquote diag tech or technical specialist or a tech, if you will, at least in the diagnostic realm. So they were trying to take some of that load on for themselves. And most of them, of course, when they first started the business, they were the main diagnostic tech or the only tech in some cases. But so they're kind of getting back into it because they don't have that tech there. They don't have a technical specialist. And that could be a different conversation. It's just for the purpose of this, it is what it is. And multiple times they were talking to me and whatever, when you're the presenter at a class or the voice on a radio or the person on the business end of a camera online, a lot of times you're kind of placed in a position of authority on a subject or whatnot. And not all these conversations involved a job offer, but that's kind of how some of these conversations would start, like, hey, what would it take and all that. But really what they wanted to talk about was the techs that they had, mechanical and or technical specialists that were in the shops demanding more and more money. And in some cases, deserving it and well received by this manager or owner talking to me. But in some cases, the numbers they were asking for were really the numbers that we see tossed around online that seem to be arrived at almost arbitrarily. So they're demanding these pay. And I guess this is a really rough subject for me and not a new one. If you go back on this podcast and look at episode 18 and episode 46, I have the man I have a true authority on, and we're discussing value and techs, specifically mechanical and technical specialists' value to the shops and figuring out what you're worth and increasing your value and stuff like that. And I can't help but recommend going back and listening to Dutch Silverstein, and I could listen to that guy all day. I mean, I'd even break down and listen to my own podcast just to listen to him. And he's one, just fun to listen to the way he puts words together, but also he's a straight shooter. So I can't help but not mention those episodes. Like, this is fundamentally nothing new, but a slightly different angle, as we have these owners and managers talking about the demand for more money, better compensation, and in their eyes, looking at the numbers, the production numbers, the profits off of the individual asking for this amount of money, and they're going like, I can't do it. You're not turning nearly you're not producing enough for me to pay you what you want. And we'll sit down and discuss what needs to happen for me to be able to give you this type of money. And I hope you're like me when I'm saying that in the back of my head, why this is a kind of, I guess, a difficult slash at least layered subject, that there's more going on than just work harder. But in some cases, I think, and maybe more than we're willing to admit, there are cases where it is work harder or work more focused, not so much on just a area of repair or specialty area, but what you're doing. I feel like starting to quote Yoda and Empire Strikes Back, just your mind on the now, where you are, what you're doing, not the so many other distractions in life. That can definitely be the case. But we can't also ignore that we want more money, or a better compensation package, whatever that may be. And maybe it's money and benefits and whatever. I think we can all agree, if we're after better compensation, that by itself is somewhat varied. But if we're going to somebody that has control over that, or at least partial control over that, that if they're demanding more production, they also have to be willing to step back and look at the system and really determine, is this an effort issue? Is this a focus issue? Or is this a system issue? In this system as it sits, can production increase enough to justify this compensation increase? And is it a production issue? Is it not enough work being produced, or are we not making enough money on the amount of production, the amount of work that we turn out? And it just keeps going back to, would everyone just be honest? I know it sucks. I know it really sucks to be honest with yourself. And it's hard. It's hard to cut through the bias. And I said bias, not BS. Cut through the bias. Our own bias, where we're the stars of our own movies, of our lives, to cut through that and really give an honest, no BS, I said BS, not bias, assessment of our current situation. And can we have that powwow? Can we sit down with our managers and owners who we seemingly have a fear of actually sitting down and talking with on both sides? I see it on both sides. The employees have a fear of sitting down and talking to a owner/manager or both, either or. And also owners and managers having a fear of sitting down and talking with their people and having a real, open, honest discussion about what's going on and what it will take to get where we all want to go. And hopefully all of us want to go. The collective success and the individual successes and just the psychology of that, even from the Bill Walton's episode, because can you as an owner, can you as a manager feel successful in watching the success of your coworkers or employees? And I don't mean just, hey, they succeeded in fixing that car, but also their own personal life success, that they're able to build their lives and whatever that may mean, buy houses and nice vehicles and provide for their families, help kids, whatever that is, if it's schooling, or I guess I don't want to imply that that's part of success is putting your kids through college. For some of you, maybe that is, some of you it's not, whatever. We all kind of have a certain, our own ideas of personal success. And as a leader, can we take some gratification from that? But also on the flip side, as an employee, can we take some feelings of success and just some positivity from watching the success of the business, the shop, the owner, the manager, their own successes, whatever that means. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't help but keep going back to, I think the vast majority of us are A-okay with a hierarchy, as long as it's deemed fair. And I know that can get a little messy, but not really. If the hierarchy seems fair and you can move up within the hierarchy and it feels like everyone is working together towards the collective success of the business and everyone under its roof, I think most of us as employees are okay with the owner making more. And as long as we feel like, I dare say the trickle down seems fair, that we ourselves are doing well, I think most people are okay with that. The owner has the risk. If stuff goes really sideways, who's on the hook? Ain't me. So I think most of us are okay with that, as long as that hierarchy seems fair. And do some of us sometimes need our attitude adjusted on what that fairness is? Absolutely. On both sides. Are there owners out there that think that that hierarchy is completely fair? And it might not be. She might be a little skewed to the top, a little top heavy. Absolutely. Are there employees out there that deem the hierarchy unfair when it is arguably heavy on the lower side, if you will, just definitely not the top? Yeah. So again, how in the world do we just get to be honest, but to sit down and have these conversations about what needs to happen to get where we need to go? And is it really a production issue? And if it is it really an effort issue? Is it a system issue, a process issue, a lack of process issue? What can be changed to increase production if lack of production is actually an issue? And if it isn't a production issue where the amount of work generated or billed isn't really that low, it's just the profit from it is low. Can ownership, can management accept the responsibility for that and change it? And no, it might not be like a switch where one day it's not good and the next day they've changed some numbers and boom, it's great. It might have to trend and work its way up. But is that happening? And it just feels like it isn't. It isn't happening at all. Nobody's really sitting down and having conversations. And I think fear, it's so much fear. NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in the town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Auto Tech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training. Everyone likes to bust on young people for being snowflakes, and yet, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of people quite a bit older who are scared to or really easily offended by somebody being honest, being critical. And maybe that honesty is inaccurate, and maybe the criticism is unwarranted, But I think the first thing you need to do with that criticism is, of course, listen to it. Both sides, again, this could be either side. Listen to that criticism and, I don't know, start some square breathing, or I think it's called box breathing. Breathe in 4 seconds, hold it 4 seconds, exhale 4 seconds, breathe in 4 seconds. I'll have to ask Margaret, but I'm pretty sure that's box breathing. And then how much of that's got a little bit of truth to it? Again, both sides. I almost hate using the word sides. It shouldn't be sides. We're all on the same side. We should be, but at least hopefully for the purpose of this discussion, we can just say we have the production side and the management side. Okay. Just for the sake of discussion, it shouldn't really be a side. That it should be everyone under that roof, under that banner is on the same side, but at least for the sake of discussion, management has to be able to take it. Production employees, we need to be able to take it too and listen to that criticism and process it. And first think to ourselves, how much of that has a little bit of truth to it? Maybe it's blown out of proportion. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's still being pretty nice. But holy cow, just be honest. God, just be honest and ask for clarification. And both sides being willing to listen, not listen or hear long enough to be able to just waiting to respond, but really listen. And if this has to just be broken up into a series of small meetings or interactions because emotionally people just can't handle it, I don't know. Or, I mean, just go in with a little bit of grace. I think that's the word, that if everyone had a little bit of grace and gave each other a little bit of grace, that would go a long ways towards improving the communication. Just cut people a little bit of freaking slack. Maybe they're not the best orators in the building, trying to get their thoughts out there, but that if we're all gunning for the same thing, and that is to succeed, that everybody can make a good living and enjoy work as much as possible, right? Because it's still work, okay? It's not going to be the seven dwarves every day, but come on. Can it be one of those things where, one of those situations where somebody asks you where you work and how you like it, that it's, you can honestly say, like, I can't imagine working somewhere else. We're treated really well. The work environment for what we do is as good as there is out there. And the same with management, being able to say, I work at or I own, and being able to say, like, I have a heck of a crew, mean every bit of it. And you're not just putting up the facade that everything's honky-dory and you've got this great crew, that legitimately you feel like you have a great crew because they feel treated well, you do treat them well, and they in turn treat you well. I guess this has just been a long zigzag, big surprise, to listening to these complaints and being in a rough position of not having intimate knowledge of their businesses or their people. And thinking, on one hand, maybe you're not running the shop in a way that would be conducive to allowing these producers to make the livings they're after. But on the flip side, maybe you're just not as good as you think you are. Maybe you've gotten sucked up into the narrative that we see on social media and in professional forums and stuff like that, where we should be making blah, blah, blah. Maybe some people can make that and deserve it. Maybe some of us don't. Not that we can't, but maybe we're not. Maybe we're not producing what we need to produce. And is that a skill issue? Is it a knowledge issue? Can we get better training? Is it a focus issue that we're not focused on what we're doing and on being efficient, on being economical in our motion, in our movements, in our process of servicing these vehicles? Is it recognizing flaws in the system that could be fixed, but not saying anything about it, just complaining to one another, or on going to social media and complaining about it and not ever bringing it up to somebody that could do something about it? It just, everything's got to be so dramatic. Maybe you're just not as good as you think you are. And this number you're after is not reasonable to be after. And maybe you absolutely are. And some of those tools to figure it out are in episode 18 and episode 46 with Dutch Silverstein. And then you have information, you have tools to go to the people in charge, if you will, to talk about your compensation, find out why they can't or won't, and come up with a solution, come up with a path. And if they're not interested in that path, then your path may be out of that shop and into a different one. And finding, arguably even in your interviews, talking to somebody that maybe they're not there yet, but they want to be. And now being able to be on the ground floor of something that could be pretty special. And you might have to wrestle with the idea of taking a step back to be able to take many, many steps forward. And it's a gamble. Don't get me wrong. But I just find in this day and time, is that how often are we really running into owners and managers that are unwilling to change anything that would give them the ability to improve the shop, our lives, their lives? It just, I don't see that happening a lot. Again, I've mentioned it. Sometimes I wonder if I don't live in some sort of a cocoon that blocks my view of what's really out there. Kind of the whole flat rate thing again, where I myself, with what I see day in and day out near me, very, very, very few flat rate shops, and the emails poured in. Then there's a lot of flat rate shops around the country. So maybe I'm just not seeing shops, shop owners, managers that are just so stuck in their ways, they're unwilling to evolve. Or again, maybe it's not them, but maybe they'll just sit down and talk to you and explain what they need and maybe what they see as what might be holding you back. And can you accept that and accept that criticism and turn it into a positive? Take their advice, change some things, and all of a sudden your production goes up and now the money comes too. Like, I'm a broken record. I'm sorry. Be honest. So yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have comments, please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media or instant message me. You can email me at mattfonslapodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network. Thank you to Napa Auto Tech Training for sponsoring. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.